There we go. The recording's on. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Jim.
Pardon me?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. I'd like to sit down with you at some time when we have the time, when we have a chance to just kind of look at things and just go over what I need to do now to begin to build this site so that it's more active. And I recognize that a lot of that has to do with what I'm not doing that I need to be doing more of. I understand that part, but it's also, you know, just building the site so that it's not so that it takes care of itself as much, but it's, you know, it's sort of doing the thinking for me, if that makes any sense to you. Because of where I'm going now and what I'm doing, and I've sort of changed directions a little bit, the site still is very, very relevant to what I want to do and all that kind of thing. And so I just like to get more use out of it and use it more to my advantage than have it just be there.
Okay.
And you're the man to help me out with that. I know that. So
yeah,
we'll
we can actually talk about that today because it's something that I think we should focus on as well. So just hang on for one sec. Is there any other quick questions that were talk? Yeah. Who else came on?
It's Carol.
Oh, hey, Carol. Anyone else come on in the background? Oh, hello, hello. Okay. did you want to, I can talk about the blueprint, the actual process. Do you want me to talk about that today?
Well, it's just where I need to get some ideas from you as to what I would like to do is just a chance to kind of explain what I would like to do or where I would like to go with it. And then see what you get back to me with or see what you suggest I kind of look at doing particular to what it is I want to do with it.
Yeah, okay. And, well, here, and let's, and we can do that, but I think it's a good idea that maybe we go through a little bit of the process beforehand, and then that way you can sort of confirm that what you had in mind is going to fit into the process. How's that sound?
Sure. Yeah, no, that sounds good. Yeah. The other thing, James, was... is there some place on my site, and I don't know whether the other folks there might have the same question or not, but is there some place on my site? I've probably written, I don't know, 150 articles, 200 articles, I don't know, you know, since I've been doing the blog and all that. Is there some place where on my site it's all the things that I've written are archived by the month? So in other words, you know, the month of September 2015, I wrote this, 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 and this. So that people can go to a particular article or a particular blog and just click on it rather than have to go through a list and say, oh, that's it there.
Yeah, there's a number of ways of doing that. And yes, the information is all there, but I'm not – let me just double check. I'll give you usually the easiest way to do it. So the question is, how do I have a by-month or by-year archive that shows only posts for the specific time frame, correct?
Yeah. So I right from the day one when I got started, the very first one was back, I think it was 2014 or something like that. But anyway, you know, the very first one and then the next one and the next one and by-month and by-year so that folks can reference them. I'm getting people saying, you know, did you wrote an article? Do you remember when that was? I have no idea. You know, I can't say. Oh yeah, sure. I did that October, you know, 2013 or 2014 or 2015. Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. You know, sort of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Okay.
So,
well, here's a couple things to do. The first one is that in the by default the web log or the blog that every WordPress site creates a page that is a rolling log file of all of the posts that you have done, and by default, it keeps it in chronological order with the newest one at the top and the oldest one at the bottom, right? So that's kind of the default sort of standard. Now, if you go, for example, on jimclowley.com/blog, your blog page, that blog page, the way it's set up on your site, it's showing them in chronological order, and it shows the first 10, I guess, posts.
Yes.
Yeah, it shows the first 10 posts in chronological order, and it shows the title, the featured image, and an excerpt of the first, you know, 100 characters of the post. So that's kind of the default thing. Now, what most people do is if you only have 30 posts or 20 posts, that's only like going through three pages, right? It's not a big deal. So most people don't worry about it. But and when you first started, you didn't have lots of posts, but you've been adding content on a regular basis. So the two things that you should do is in the sidebar on that blog page and on every individual blog post page, there's a sidebar. And on the sidebar, what I suggest that we do is we add a search button or a search box. So if someone wants to go and take a look and find out about, for example, anything that has to do with women, for example, any posts that you've made about women, they would just type in women and it would show any posts. It would just change the page, but it would show any posts that have women in the title, for example, or in the excerpt or the body copy.
Okay.
Or in the URL. So put a search box in. That's the first thing. The second thing is that sidebar right now, you have ads in the sidebar and opportunities to click on other programs. The thing is, by default, WordPress gives you a whole bunch of additional, they're called widgets, that allow you to do exactly what you're asking for. And that is, you could put a widget that says, show my posts by either category or show them by date. And it would have on the sidebar, so what happens underneath where it says subscribe to my newsletter right now, you would have a thing that says, you know, 2014, 2015, 2016. And if anyone clicked on 2016, it would show all of the posts by month that were made in 2016.
Yeah. That sounds more like what I'm looking for.
Yeah, so it would just show them. That's one thing to do. The other thing is, and this is what you see sometimes on some sites, like if on my site we just added one that is a widget on the blog that shows the most popular posts and the newest posts. And it's a sidebar widget, and it's just a little tab, and it shows the last five posts that have been made, and it shows the top five posts that are there. So that's another thing you can add. The third one is what's called, sometimes it's shown as a tag cloud, and it shows up as a, sort of a cloud of words, and some of the words are bigger in font size than other words, and that means that those tags are more popular. So, for example, you could have add that tag cloud on the right-hand side widget, the sidebar again of the blog and every blog post, and it will show all of the words that you've added as tags in each individual post. So let's say, for example, you had an article on in praise of women, for example, or right. Limits to Freedom, or Barack Obama, for example, or something like that, or right. You have keywords, for example, that are words that you can add as tags. And what it does is it shows tags of all of the posts that are about a specific word. So you have two, you know, you can add as many widgets as you want to the sidebar. You could have one widget with the tag cloud, one widget with the dates, and one widget with the search box. So you've now got three different ways that allow someone who's visiting. They're on that main page that shows the new, you know, the newest posts, but on the right-hand side, they can say, well, maybe Jim wrote something about LGBTQ issues or something like that. They would type in the text, and they would get a search for it, and they would show what posts that you'd mentioned that particular word or phrase in.
Okay?
And then, so that's what I suggest you do. You've got enough content that's there that has it available. Okay.
Right.
Now the other thing we can do is we can add a page, and it can be basically an index of all of your posts and links to the posts. And a lot of times you'll see that on larger sites where it's not necessarily it doesn't have to be by date, but it's just a page that gets automatically generated. It's not a page that you have to type anything on. It's just a page that gets generated, and it can have the date and the title of the post, and it shows it, for example, by month or by year. And you can have a menu link to that page that just says, you know, all my posts or something like that, or post archive, something along those lines. And they'd be able to go there and then choose from, you know, if you've got 200 articles, there would be 200 titles on that one page. And they can just pick the ones they want to look at.
Okay. Wow. So there's a few ways of doing this.
Yeah, and my suggestion is first is a search box. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing is to add that the widgets to the sidebar, and I would do one that shows it either by, you know, you've got a couple categories, right? Did we do categories? Can't remember.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, so you can show all of the ones that are relationship, all of the ones that are, you know, personal development, whatever it happens to be, all of the ones that are a specific category. I would add a couple widgets, one being the search widget, another one being a category widget, and then third one being a date widget.
Okay, so category widgets and search widgets. Okay.
And then that way, anytime someone, you still want people to see your newest post first, right?
Right.
Yeah. So as soon as they look at that blog page or open that one post, the widgets will show up on the right-hand sidebar, and they'll have the option to see all of the other great stuff that you've included.
Okay. Yeah. Now, are the widgets easy enough for me to do them? Before you answer that, remember who you're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's easier if you just send an email to help@WPBlogSupport and just say, please add a category widget and a search widget and post by date widget to my sidebar. It'd be a lot easier if you just said that.
Okay, I can. I'll do that. It would certainly take a lot of the grief out of my life too. So
exactly that. That's why we're here.
Less grief. Yeah, and yours.
No, well, you know, and the funny thing that you mentioned that is in the past, you know, when I first started out, I got questions like this, and I would do a video to show people how to do exactly what I just talked about. Now, the problem is that your site and Dr. Steph's site and Carol's site and Father Dalton's site and Alan's site, everyone else's site, it uses a little bit different theme and plugins, and they may have different widgets available that show up in different places. So there's so many options available. It's easier if you just say, look, I want that sidebar to have a search widget and an archive of my posts by date and maybe by categories. Can you put it in? And then we'll just take care of it.
Okay. And then with each article that I do, it just automatically goes to that page and finds its place.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do anything. What the widget does is it looks in the database and it says, okay, I'm going to organize. I want to display all of the posts that are by year. So it just looks in the database and looks at the dates and then displays it in the sidebar for you. So it's not you having to do anything. It's the software takes care of displaying what's already in the database. Your job is to add great content.
Okay.
That's your job. Okay. Just add great content that people are interested in.
Does it do that for, like, will it do that for my newsletters as well as my articles? Or
yeah, and actually because the newsletters are showing up as posts, post, your newsletters are blog posts as well. So it does it by default with that.
Okay. Great. Yeah, that's super.
Yeah.
That would certainly take care of a lot of what I need to take care of next sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
Now the other thing put the ticket in. The other thing I will mention is on Jim's site, he uses a plugin that's called the newsletter plugin. And the newsletter plugin, he actually uses the plugin has a little add-on called RSS to, or post to feed, I think it's called. And what happens is all Jim has to do is he has to make a post in his blog, and it sends out a newsletter each Friday morning with links to all of the posts that he's made in the previous week. So That's the newsletter plugin that does that. The other thing the newsletter plugin does is it actually has a newsletter archive page over and above the WordPress standard blog post. So it actually shows all of his newsletters on a separate page. And I can send the link to you as well if you wanted to see that. But I suggest we just stay focused on the way that I originally just discussed it now. Keep it as part of the blog. Okay?
Yeah.
And
it's
on the side.
Okay.
So that's a much better way to get the whole site showing up by date there.
Okay.
Okay.
So that was my business for the day. I just, I'll hang in and see what other folks are bringing to the table.
This is really important what we're talking about, because it's going to tie in directly to the next little piece that I want to make sure that I cover today.
Okay.
Is there any other kind of major questions right up front that need to be answered? Anyone else have any things they need covered right away before I somewhat rant?
Ready for your rant, because that's what I was on the call to hear.
Okay, the rant? Okay. Well, here's kind of the thing that how this came about was I had a local client that just signed. She just bought a domain with me, but she has not purchased. She's not purchased a hosting account, or she's not doing any of the blog support service or anything yet. But the only thing that she's doing she purchased a domain. And she purchased the domain, which was her name, because she didn't own her own, she didn't own any website or, you know, and this is a person who is, who has a long, you know, successful career offline, being a consultant and a business consultant and so just, you know, someone that has lots of expertise, but doesn't have a website or anything yet, and is used to doing all of their business and generating all of their sales offline and then face-to-face and meetings with people. So that's kind of the backdrop to it. And one of the things we had a big, long discussion about was how do you what's the actual process for, you know, having this blog and this website? Why do I need one? And what's the purpose of it? And one of the things that I think, you know, got to always just make sure that we keep in the back of our mind is that if we're doing this blog for charity, then it doesn't really matter, you know, if there's any process that's built into the blog. So the thing that
James,
yes,
Stepfather, we're supposed to announce ourselves. I'm going to put you on mute. I'm in the car, and
okay.
I'm sure it'll make some noise if I don't. So I'm here though.
Okay, great. Thank you. No problem. Yeah, so
okay.
here's the thing that always just sort of think in the back of your mind. If I was going to be selling a person in a face-to-face conversation, what is the process that I would follow with that person? And if I'm going to be doing the same thing, I'm going to be selling someone online, what is the process that they have to go through to make a purchase decision? See, if I was in a face-to-face sales call, you know, the traditional, you know, if you're old and as old as I am, the original sales training that when it got codified was called spin training, which was, you know, it was situation, problem, implication, need. And this was from Xerox in the 50s when the, you know, copier people selling copiers door to door. And Xerox was one of the first sort of mainstream companies to codify the sales process, and it became known as spin training. And any person who has been trained in offline selling, they have some kind of process that they go through when they're trying to convince someone to do something or to purchase something, right? So the thing with the website is if I'm in a face-to-face sales thing, I'm looking at the process from my perspective as the salesperson. I'm questioning the person to try and find out what's their situation, what's the problem they have, what does the problem mean to them, what do they need, you know, how can I sell them something that fixes their problem. So it's from my perspective as a salesperson. The thing with the website is it actually flips that whole equation on its head, right? If I'm going to a website, it's I'm going through the process as the buyer. So what has to happen for me as the buyer to be comfortable enough to take my credit card out of my wallet and be comfortable enough to put my 12 digits in and my CCV and my expiry date and put all of this stuff in when I don't get to see anyone, I don't get to know anyone, I don't necessarily get to ask questions? What has to happen for the buyer? And the thing is that there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens before someone makes the purchase. So if you have to always remember that and have that in the back of your mind when you're looking at your website. A lot of people say, you know, my website doesn't look cool. I want it to look better. Well, if there's no process built into the website and no way for the buyer to follow that process to purchasing, then it doesn't matter what the heck it looks like. So always when you're thinking about your site and the content you're adding, it's like, what do I need to give in terms of information, education, comfort level, identification of the problem, and what's going on for that person? What do they need to know in order to buy from me? So always write your content based on the other person, not on what your company does or what you do. It's like, what's the other person getting? What do they need to get before they're going to move forward with you? Okay, so just always kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Did I explain it clearly enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, good. At least one person went, mm-hmm, that's a good one. Okay, either that or everyone else is on mute. That's fine. Okay, so...
I'm on mute, I understand. You got an amen from this corner.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So, and this doesn't matter if you're selling sponsorships or, well, it matters if you're selling a sponsorship that's worth $25,000 or a sponsorship that's worth $25 a month. The amount of information often that people need is based on how much of a commitment you're asking from them up front, right? The first sale, it seems, is always, how am I going to get someone to buy into my email list? The first purchase they make is, how am I going to get the email, or am I willing to give my email to this person in exchange for something, in exchange for finding out more? So that's kind of the first hurdle that you have to get across. And, you know, if you're only asking someone at the end of the day, the whole purpose of the site is to sell a $7 product or service, you know, there may only be zero hurdles or one hurdle. If you're asking someone to buy a coaching program that's 4 months long that they've got to spend $2,000 on, there's probably going to be a couple more hurdles, and the hurdles will probably be a little bit higher, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what you want to do is you want to make sure that you have that, understand the process first, that the buyer or the customer that you want to have, you want to make sure you understand what is it they're going to, what, you know, if I was going to buy this and I'm a good customer for my own product, what do I need to know? From the customers that I do have, what were the questions that they asked and what did they need to do in order to be comfortable enough to give me some money? Did I, you know, how long did it take? What steps did they follow? And then you want to sort of mark those down, and then, okay, I've got them. You want to have that process or that story on your website. And if you look at any sales page, you'll see that the actual website, the sales page, that one long copy sales page, it usually follows that exact process. And the thing that was interesting to me is this person that I was talking about that just bought the domain, they said to me, well, this sounds just like direct mail. And at the end of the day, it is. It's direct mail. It is exactly the same buying process as direct mail. Okay, so how, you know, whatever your idea of direct mail is or isn't, the process that happens with direct mail is the same thing that's happening with a website. And if you think about it, I know here, for example, in Canada, every single week I get direct mail from Bell Canada, which is an internet service provider, cable service provider, phone provider. I get mail from people on a regular basis, and it's a bunch of continued touches over a period of time, each with different parts of a solution to a bigger problem that they're trying to get me to identify with and have themselves as the solution for. And that's what you need to do on your website. Make these things about these little sales that you make to get started, but more importantly, do I have the other pieces in place to get someone to make a decision to spend some money with me specifically? Okay, so what are the things we need to do that? That's kind of the big picture. What are the things we need to do this? Well, I have that map, and I'm just, if you haven't downloaded it, I'm just going to get the actual URL. Actually, if you go to marketablog.com.
I'm sorry, what was that, James?
If you go to marketablog.com, you'll see there's just a single page there. Marketablog.com.
Okay.
It's just a single page, and actually that's the lead page for me, but on that particular page, you'll see there's actually the map, the 10-step map that, you know, your whole business is going to be kind of based on. And that business, although there's 10 steps there, the main kind of steps that we've got to think about is, first of all, you know, what is it that I'm actually going to sell? What's that process? How am I thinking of earning some money? What is it that I need to basically, have and create? The second thing is, what content do I need there? And the third one is, where do I get the traffic and the email? So it's like that mix of those three things, content, traffic, or I'll just say content as one piece, the traffic and the process. How do these three things fit together? And in your case, you were talking about, you know, what are the other things that I have to do now on my website to move forward? Well, the things that if you have a website and you have something to sell and you have information on your site, what you have to start doing is you look and say, okay, do I have a little bit of a process? Yes, I've got a newsletter. Yes, I have something to offer someone to sell, to pay for. You've got to add some traffic to that to see if there's, any interest or you've got any value for people and ask them, do you want to buy it? One of the things that often happens, especially with new people, is they're afraid to say, do you want to buy what I'm selling? And you get so hung up about giving great content and great information, you forget, do you want to buy from me? Because if you don't ask someone if they want to buy from you, chances are they won't. You know, in Jerry Maguire, it was like the guy, Cuba Gooding Jr., it was like, show me the money, Jerry. Show me the money. You have to ask and say, do you want to buy what I'm selling? And the only way you can do that is make sure it's not, you know, if it's on your website, you have to have that sales page or you have to have something that says, do you want to hire me? Do you want to buy my product? Do you want to buy my service? Do you want this solution? Click here to go to someone else's site because I earn an affiliate commission. But you have to give them a call to action. You have to tell them to do something. And, you know, if we've seen anything in American politics in the last couple months, you'll know that people will do just about anything if they're told to. So, but if you don't tell them, you don't give them any direction, they're not going to do anything. So think about, what are the calls to action that you want to have? Is it sign up for my newsletter? Is it buy my $7 introductory report? Is it to buy my $20 book? Is it to hire me to be a coach? Is it to sign up and be a sponsor for my particular cause or service? Is it sign up to be an affiliate to resell my product or service? But you have to say, look, if you want this solution, click here to get get it done for you or get this information. You got to have a call to action. And then once, you know, once you've got your call to action, you've got to ask some people to do it. But those people, how are you going to get them? And I'll talk a little bit about traffic because there's kind of three kind of prongs to traffic. And just the easiest way to get traffic in the early days, probably right now, is to do something with Facebook ads. That's the quickest way to spend a little bit of money to get ads. So some paid advertising is the easiest way to get some traffic. And the reason that paid advertising is a good idea to start off with when you're just starting to get some traffic is with a small budget, you can send targeted traffic to a specific offer or call to action that you have, and you can get a pretty good idea what your conversion rates are. So if you know that you spend $100 in Facebook ads and that you end up getting 50 people or 75 people as a result of those ads that actually go to a page, if you know you get X number of people to sign up for your newsletter or X number of people to follow whatever call to action you're sending them to, then you know I have to spend this much to get this result. And you can get if you spend the money but get no results, then it's much better to try and figure out what is it that I need to have that is going to get people to convert. Is it the call to action? Is it what I'm selling? Did I not target it properly? But you can at least fix what you know is broken. Just kind of sitting and waiting to have someone show up and see if you sell anything. You have no control over who's visiting in terms of the volume or where they're coming from. But more importantly, it's really hard to determine, I got this traffic. Were they not interested or were they the wrong people or were they, what happened? How did they get here? Where did they go? So,
James.
Yep.
As you're talking there, what comes to mind is there assistance or is there help out there or is there some kind of a program? How do you develop a page like that to advertise on Facebook? Like what does the content look like? What does it sound like? Is there a lot of artwork? Is there a lot of fancy this? How do you go about creating a page to put on Facebook to advertise?
Well, it doesn't have to be a Facebook. It can be a Facebook ad.
Okay, but anything like that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's when I first started, there was actually whole courses on copywriting, on how to write copy. And there's still people who are specialists in copywriting. And those are the mm-hmm. people that, studied direct mail and long text sales copy and all sorts of stuff. And there's a whole science to that that's still really, really, it's involved and it costs a lot of money to do, but it is a pretty much an exact science and you can pay a lot of money to get a sales page done for you. My gist on this now is I'll give you an example of how to do it without having to necessarily write your own copy. If I wanted to go and get an ad on Facebook, for example, the first thing that I would do is I would go to Facebook and I would search for whatever my particular topic is. So if it was, family counseling, for example, or, travel tips, just start searching on Facebook for travel, for example, or family counseling or whatever it happens to be that's in your market, or stress release or something like that. Now, and just play on Facebook and do a couple searches and click on those links that are related to your topic. By the time you finish your third or fourth click on Facebook, you'll notice that in your timeline on Facebook, you're going to start seeing ads that are about what?
Stuff that I'm interested in.
Well, yeah, the stuff
that
you searched on, right? Because Facebook's going to start showing you those ads. So if you start to look at those, I always look at ones for training and online courses. So, for example, there's one by a lady by the name of Amy, suggested post, Amy Porterfield. And she's got how to create your first five-figure webinar, even if you don't have a list yet. free live masterclass. There's a big Facebook ad right on my timeline. Now, I would look at it, and I would say, is this something that my customers, this style of ad, is it something my customer, did it get my attention? Did it cause me to click? That's the first piece, right? It's right. So plagiarize, creatively plagiarize the ads that you already see that are ones that you think fit with your brand, your topic, your style, and the customers that you want to attract. Okay? That's the first thing. So you can just save those, you know, do a screen capture, save them. So that's one thing to do right off the bat. Second thing is, click the link. Click the link for those ads, and they'll take you to a sales page.
Okay.
The sales page, they've already done the work. Now, the interesting thing is if I click on this one, it'll bring me to a squeeze page because she's trying to capture my email address so she can start marketing to me over time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Reserve my seat. She's got a two-step thing, and then it's got webinar date and register. And she's actually got the times there. So she's actually using a service that she's doing the webinar once and it's playing at three different times or four different times on the same day. So her text, she's got 30 words of text and an opt-in box. So the purpose of her ad was to capture the email address. That's all that it was. And to get them on the link to into the autoresponder series. But if I look on Facebook, I did that. I have an ad to use, a style of ad, a layout of ad, and I have an example of a sales page. If you click on a couple other ones, you'll see that you'll go actually maybe to a product offer where you'll actually see a regular long sales page. Now, here's the other thing that I would consider. If you go take a look at click those ads and you see a sales page, the sales pages on the sites, a lot of them are really, really professionally done. Very, very nicely done. And the thing that's great now is in the early days, you used to have to pay someone to create a page like that and all of the text that was on the page. Now,
right.
Thrive Themes, which we use and all of our Grow customers get, all of the Thrive Themes, they have 50 templates of full sales pages.
Well,
one click and you've got a complete sales page in. The template's done, the graphic's done. You just have to edit the text. But the thing that they've done with it that's great is the sales process of the sales page is intact in the template. So you just have to... It's pretty well done. You've got to put your verbiage in. But, you know, at the start they talk about, you know, here's the situation. Here's the big problem we're solving. Here's the implication. This is what you need. And at the end, it's, hey, this is how you fix it. Click here to buy now. But that process is already in the sales page. Thrive Themes has that done for you.
Okay.
Not only that, you can go and look at the sales pages of other competitors, either in your market or not in your market, look at them and say, hey, is this the style and format that I want and need to use to convert my customers? Is the sales process there? Did they use their personal story properly to get me to want to buy?
Okay.
So I would, you know, you don't reinvent the wheel, just creatively plagiarize.
Right. So, okay, Thrive Scenes, how do I get the Thrive Scenes? Is that on your, pages?
Yeah, and I'll send you the link to that one. It's actually in, if you go to WP Blog Support, this is my affiliate, it has my affiliate links on it, but it's wpblogsupport.com/recommends, and you'll see there's Thrive Themes there. And if you're a Grow customer, you know how I have the Start, Build, and Grow customer, we have licenses for Thrive Themes, and it's included. So you can anyone who's a Grow customer automatically gets the Thrive Themes if they want to put them in. So, and Jim, you can talk to me offline about that, where you're at. So, and I'll include the link as well. But that's just an example of, you know, if you want to get traffic, copy what people are doing on Facebook, take a look at where they're sending you to. And again, some people are really absolutely crazy wasting money on this. I'm not saying, you know, just do what everyone's doing. I'm saying take a look at what people are doing and think about, is this attracting the kind of customer that I need and want, and is this process getting them to purchase from them?
Right.
Okay. And I'll give you an example. I a lot of times in the last little while, I've been following, you know, the election stuff, and it goes to YouTube videos. And on many YouTube videos, someone will have an ad that's either 5 or 15 seconds at the very front of the YouTube video, right? It plays before the content. There's one lady that I keep on getting who has an ad that's showing up on a whole bunch of YouTube videos that is the most god-awful, poorly produced video, and I have no idea what the hell she's talking about. And it has nothing to do with the elections or Donald Trump or business, nothing. So I'm just going, I'm shaking my head because, yeah, she's doing the right thing, but she's picked the wrong target and she's got the wrong call to action, the wrong information being shown to the wrong people. It's like, I don't know if she's independently wealthy and she's just doing it for fun, but, you know, if you're going to do this, make sure it's mapped to the process that we talked about earlier. What's the purpose of my website? Do I have something to sell someone? Do I have a call to action? What do I need people to do? Okay? And the easiest way is to do it just with some Facebook ads to start off with. Now, the thing is, too, and you can do this, if you open up a Google account, a lot of times our Google AdWords account or our AdSense AdWords account, sorry, they'll give you $100 credit. If you go to Bing, they'll give you $100 credit. So, you know, you can take a look and say, great, you know, I've got $250 budget or a $300 budget, and I've got these three different places for traffic, and I'll, you know, spend my $300 or $150 here and $150 here. One of them is going to be for lead generation to see if I can get email addresses, and you can do some testing and at least, you know, kind of figure out, am I sending some people here? Are they buying anything? Am I getting some people to at least opt into an email? And if you're not, then your offer bites, or you've got the wrong people looking at the offer, one of the two things.
Right.
And you can at least start to... Yep.
I was talking with somebody the other day about a Facebook ad campaign that they did, and they told me two things I didn't know.
Yeah.
They said, first of all, if you put in some information about your current customers, Facebook wants you to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So they have the algorithms and they'll start showing your ads to the types of people that show similar interests in what you've done.
Exactly.
And he said that was a tremendous amount of research and legwork that you don't have to do, that Facebook does for you.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And,
it's a very good
point. That it's a phenomenal dynamic because if you know your customer avatar, woman age 40, blah, 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 this kind of median income, Facebook wants you to succeed so that they keep selling you ads.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so they're working on your behalf in that respect. The second thing he said was when you have a successful campaign on Facebook, which is less expensive and more targeted, then you can take that same campaign to Google Ads and know that you have a successful campaign already. He said Google
Ads
was not the place to test your ads. Facebook is.
Yeah. And that's the beautiful thing about what you just talked about is, again, when we first started, you know, you talk about a customer avatar, and this is that whole issue of being in the right niche and having a target audience that you want to get your ads to. In the past, you always had to go to, you know, the Google Webmaster Tools and try and figure this crap out by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. It still is hard. Not only it's hard, it's confusing as heck. There's just too much to choose from. And you know, you hit the nail on the head. They've made this a little bit easier, well, quite a bit easier with Facebook, because they do have all of the real-time data about what these people are actually doing now in the Facebook world. So that's, you know, that's a great point. If you know, start with Facebook, do your stuff on Facebook, get that avatar correct, and then you can transfer it to the other places. Now, the thing you have to still, if you have the right avatar or the right person you want to talk to, you've got the right market, but they're still not reacting to your call to action, then you've got to figure out, what is it that I'm asking them to do? I've got to get something better so that they actually act on it. So it's one thing to click on the ad. It's another thing to opt into the email, for example, in Amy's thing for the webinar. You know, if they click on the ad, Amy's got to pay her little bit of money, but she didn't get an email address from you. So it wasn't successful. The ad was successful, getting a click, but the conversion to capture the email address wasn't. So the avatar part, that target market, that niche that you're looking at, that perfect customer that you think is going to react, that's where you need to start and then follow it along that process. Okay? So that's where I would focus in the early days, is that part, and make sure that you know, what are the calls to action that are working for me? And the thing is that a lot of times, and I personally run into this mistake, and a lot of the people who have been around for a long time do the same thing. They run into the same problem, is how many call to actions do you think you need?
One?
Yeah, technically you need one. One that works. But, you know, you get sort of sidetracked. Well, so-and-so is doing webinars. Well, so-and-so is doing an ebook. Well, so-and-so is on Amazon. Well, so-and-so. You see all of these people doing all of these other things, and you think that you have to be doing them, right? You have to take a look. What's my process? What am I offering? What do I need customers to do? Get that one call to action that gets them started in the process, and then rinse and repeat. Rinse and repeat. And yes, you only need one that works. It may take you a couple to get the one that works, and you can have a couple different ones, and if they both work, that's fine too. But don't get, you know, and I run into this because, you know, you do all these courses, you do extra information. I find out about, you know, doing webinars, I find out about doing podcasts, and you start thinking, oh, I got to be spending time on podcasts and focusing on podcasts. But it's like, what is the core thing that you need people to do? What is it that you need to get people started on? How do you get them engaged? What part of your business do you need to have as the entry level to all of your products and services? What's that one way to get people to raise their hand to say, yes, I'm interested and I'm willing to start? I'm willing to take that first step. I'll go out on a date with you. You know, I love the dating analogy. It's like, I'm not going to marry you yet. Let's go out for a couple dates first. So what do I need to do to get started there? Okay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Say yes, please. Say yes, please.
Yes, please. Hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah, brother. Yeah, and I'll give you one other. There's a couple different sort of tools that I use on a regular basis. The one that I quite like right now is Snappa.io for doing Facebook ads. There's Canva and a couple other ones, but the Snappa.io, that one, it's basically they've got 100 Facebook ad templates. And all you have to do is, they've got a built-in editor in the browser. So, you know, if you go and see those ads that are on Facebook, you could go to Fiverr and ask someone to actually create them on Fiverr for you. That's fine. Or you can do something like Snappa.io and then just, you know, create one from one of the templates that's there as well. Those ones are kind of easy to do. I'm just looking to see if there's any more ads. But you'll see the ads that work and the ones that don't. Let me see if there's any other one jump out at me.
And James, the ones that the ads that appear on the sidebar after you're kind of doing some of your research, are those in order of most clicked so that you can find the ad that ranks highest?
You mean the ones on the right hand side of Facebook?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, on those ones, I don't know. I haven't run any of those ads specifically, so I'm not entirely sure how those ones go. I know you can do in the timeline in the sponsored posts inside the posts, and then those smaller ads, sponsored ones on the. I don't know if they're actually in order of. I know there's usually two, but I'm not sure if they're in order of amount that's paid. Like, for example, I've got Frank Kearns doing his How to Get Consulting Clients Fast. I get that ad every single time I'm on Facebook. And there's another one for ClickFunnels, I think. Stop Wasting Time Building Funnels. And that one goes to White Coat Digital. And that one goes to a video sales page, which is another way of doing a sales page, but doing it in a video, which is a little bit quicker than reading out a big, long one. Discover the 6 core magnetic conversion funnels that will attract your dream customer regardless of your product, service, or industry, and how you can have a team do it for you. I'm just looking to see where that view page source, see who they used.
Did you say Snappa, snapa.io?
Yeah, snapa.io.
I'm not getting that to come up.
snappa.io.
Okay.
snappa.io, snappa.io.
Got it. It's come up now. Thank you.
Yeah. And there's a couple other ones that are similar to this. Some of them are less expensive. Some of them are free. Some of them are more expensive. This one has a free level just so that you can try it. And I think you get like one or two or three or four graphics a month kind of thing for free that you could do. And then the other ones, it's unlimited if you buy. But these ones, they have Facebook posts, Twitter posts, LinkedIn posts, YouTube thumbnails, Instagram posts, Pinterest posts. They have blog featured images, blog images, infographics, headers for Facebook, Twitter, YouTube channels, G+, email headers, social media ads, display ads. All of that stuff is there. And just to give you an example if you go to wpblogsupport.com and you go to the actual, if you go to the blog on the main page there, and you look at the last, if you look on the blog, if you go to the blog, there's two blog post featured images. The top two are ones that were I just did with that. So I have the featured images just show on the blog. So learn how to integrate Square and WooCommerce.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones are just done with templates. All I did is I changed the text. And there's actually text underneath the title that's there. So, okay.
Great. Yes.
So really, really simple to do. You don't have to be a graphic artist anymore. And of course you can do it this way, or you can go to Fiverr and get a whole bunch done, or you can do them yourself. I think it's just a little bit quicker to actually go and do it this way. So, and for me, you get a couple that you use and use them as a template.
Okay, great.
Perfect. So is there any other big questions or any other small questions I can answer today? Hopefully that helped a little bit.
Yes, you know, it did.
Yeah, keep your eye on the ball. It's like keep focused on what do I need the customers to do and how does my website facilitate the customers doing that? How does it make it easy? How do I reduce the friction? How do I remove steps? How do I make it easier for people to go through? And, it, you know, the great part about business, in my opinion, is that that's your job, is to continually simplify the process. How can I make it as simple as possible? You know, is it adding technology? Is it adding information? Is it removing steps? You know, is it services I provide? What are the things I can do to get that end result the easiest possible way for the customer so that they get engaged with me?
Right.
Financially engaged, financial engagement. Because if there is no financial engagement, you're a charity. And that's your choice, but
yeah,
that's
your I'd rather not be a charity.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do I get financially engaged? What do I need to do to woo my customer?
Yeah. Take them out on a date.
Yeah, at least one.
Yeah, at least one.
Yeah, at least one.
I'll be back in touch with you shortly, and we'll set up something,
okay.
A little call. And in the meantime, I'll put a ticket together and get the other thing going there.
For the sidebars, yeah, sidebar widget.
Yeah, the archive was set up and all that kind of stuff. So.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time as always.
Okay, hope you enjoyed that.
Learned a lot, guys.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very helpful.
Good. So we'll keep on focusing on that. Again, if there's any questions or if you need anything done on your sites, just send an email to help@wpblogsupport.com. And we'll get it done as quickly as possible.
Great. Thanks, James.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
No problem. And I'll put this recording up. I'll try and get it done in the next hour or so, okay?
Okay.
Super.
We'll do this one a little more quickly. Okay. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Have a good one.